Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Brandon Kiley here. Nick the Quick Price back at the studios. We are live inside Winning Streaks inside Harris Casino. Taking you up until 6 o'clock. If you're looking for a place to come grab some good food, grab a beer, maybe grab some wings, eat a little bit of pizza, and watch the NCAA tournament. This is the perfect place for you. It's starting to pack for that dinner rush. People trying to come in here and watch a little Kentucky later tonight. If you're looking to watch the NCAA tournament, there's
some good games slated for tonight.
There are some good games. Hopefully a little bit better than the slate we have so far earlier today, because the slate, aside from the Auburn game, has left a little bit to be desired so far.
Belmont
in the NCAA
was a good
tournament.
Game. Belmont-Maryland was good. It was close late.
It was okay. The Auburn game was really good.
Yeah, that
was
compelling.
The Auburn game was fun. The Auburn game was a lot of fun. The other games have just been okay. The other games have just been fine. Before we actually get into the hits, it's time to give you scores.
Scores on the 10s right here on 610 Sports Radio. KU is really pulling away at this point. 62-36 over Northeastern.
Stop saying pulling away. It's over.
I said they have pulled away at this point.
No, it's over.
62-36. Game's over. There's still 8 minutes to go in
the game.
That's
the final.
But it's over.
Come out and play in the KU game. He might actually come out and give you 8 minutes in this KU game.
Tyler Self's coming back. Murray State.
Bill might
up.
Actually be a better basketball player than Charlie Moore.
Oh, wow. That shot's fired. Murray State up 42-35 at the half, still in that one. Coming up later on, we will have a few updates as well. Florida, Nevada going to tip off at 5:50. Abilene Christian, Kentucky tipping off at 6 o'clock. Scores on the 10s right here on 610 Sports Radio.
We will give you score updates every 10 minutes or as necessary. Nick, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, my man.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go!
Well, earlier reported on the show, originally by Adam Schefter, Justin Houston is on his way to the Indianapolis Colts on a 2-year, $24 million deal. Is this a good deal for the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really good deal for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, you look at pass rush. They got the next wave of pass rushers. D4 got the bag, 5 years, $87 million. C.J. Mosley got paid. Trey Flowers got paid. If you could rush the quarterback the first 3 days of free agency, you got a massive contract. The Colts kind of set back. They waited in the weeds a little bit. They hid in the bushes, and then they pop out to sign Justin Houston to a 2-year, $24 million deal. I certainly would love to see the way the contract is structured, but I find it hard to believe that we're going to look in 2 days once we find out and think that this wasn't a good deal for the Indianapolis Colts, that this was a smart team making a smart move to pick up a pass rusher in Justin Houston.
I think this is the perfect kind of deal that any team would want their – any fan base would want their team to sign. They got a player who is similar production-wise to Trey Flowers, but older, and became available because another team got a roster crunch and a numbers crunch with their cap space. They sat back. They waited for Trey Flowers to go get that 5-year, $90 million deal. They signed Justin Houston, a guy that they think is going to give them similar production to what Trey Flowers could have given them, for a quarter of the cost, 2 years, $24 million. That's the thing that really smart teams do. That's the thing that really smart GMs do. And it's one of the many reasons why I think the Colts are going to be one of the teams that the Chiefs are competing with in the AFC for years to come.
Two.
Forgot to say this before, but the hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. It's open in the Crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. So we've been talking about it all day, guys, but according to Jay Glazer, Tyreek Hill's name came up in trade talks earlier this offseason, even before this ongoing investigation in Overland Park. Does this surprise you guys that the Chiefs aren't quite as into Tyreek Hill as we previously thought?
I'm a little bit surprised just because of how dynamic of a player that he's in. I think it's unfortunate because if you think about it from a financial standpoint for Tyreek Hill, You came into the league with quote-unquote questionable character. Now when it's time for you to get that big-time contract, that life-changing contract that changes your life and everybody that you know's life, you now are in the middle of something else off the field, and we don't know what's going to happen. Anything is on the table for Tyreek Hill. Wouldn't be surprised if he's on the team. Wouldn't be surprised if he's not on the team. Wouldn't be surprised if he misses 8 games. It can go in a lot of different directions for Tyreek Hill. But I am a little bit surprised that now we find out about the investigation. A lot of very reputable reporters are saying that the Chiefs were behind the scenes shopping him, and it always seemed odd, but now they're starting to put two and two together on why the Chiefs were maybe so forthcoming to offer Tyreek Hill in a trade a couple of weeks ago.
I think there have been breadcrumbs for this. I think it started with the Jason LaCanfora report. This was back in, I think, early February, when he said that the Chiefs were looking to offense. This was back during the NFL Combine. He said specifically, don't be shocked if they get in on the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes, but they want to come away with a big-time receiver or running back. We talked about it at the time. We were confused and surprised by that report. Then he went on CBS Sports Radio and said that the Chiefs would love to get Antonio Brown in a trade if they could, but that the Steelers weren't going to trade him to Kansas City. Finally, the other day, he mentioned the fact that all of those things coming together and now having this new reporting from Charles Robinson and Jay Glazer, it's all starting to make sense to him, starting to make sense to me as well. Maybe the Chiefs just aren't as interested in signing Tyreek Hill long-term for whatever reason, whatever the reasons are, as we all thought they were. I thought it was going to be the easiest thing for the Chiefs to do this offseason. They clearly disagreed with that stance.
Three. Last night on the Royals spring training broadcast, Alex Gordon was asked what his plans are after this season. He didn't seem to quite know what his future held just yet.
You know, this year's been a little bit different just because older now, and, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do after this year, so as far as, you know, keep playing or not. So I just want to have a fun year and, you know, win some ball games, and hopefully should be something fun to play for.
Is it time for Alex Gordon to announce that this is his final season so the Royals can just give him a proper farewell tour?
What I would love for Alex Gordon is for him to get the Kobe Bryant, Dirk Nowitzki send-off tour. If I'm Alex Gordon, I come out the second game of the season after the fanfare and pomp and circumstance of opening day, and I announce, I'm not playing this game at the level in which I feel like I'm accustomed to. I want to retire a member of the Kansas City Royals. This is going to be my last season. I can't envision playing anywhere else. The game of baseball has been good to me. Kansas City's been good to me, but this is going to be my final year playing baseball. And man, I'm telling you that we can have a marketing bonanza around Alex Gordon. I'm talking Game 1 World Series t-shirts. I'm talking bobbleheads. I'm talking about really promoting Gordo Nation, and for a season that is a lot about developing the young players and not really caring about wins and losses, it can be about giving a proper send-off to Alex Gordon. I hope either it's at the beginning of the season or at the All-Star break. I don't just want Alex Gordon at the end of the season to say, hey, well, it's been fun. I don't want to play here anymore. I hope he gives us time to give him the proper send-off of one of the 10, 15 most important Royals in the history of their organization.
I come on this on a similar note, but a little bit different in terms of the timing. I want to see Alex Gordon do this in the second half of the season. I don't want to see it early on, because what happens if you do that? Baseball's long, man. 162 games. You get into the dog days of summer, all of a sudden fans are looking at it and they're saying, man, this is the end of Alex Gordon. He's not going to be here anymore after this season. Let's go ahead and see what Bubba Starling can do out there. Let's go ahead and see what a guy like, Soler, let's see what he can give us in left field. Let's see what Bonifacio can give us. Let's look to the future now. Let's kind of turn the page on what Alex Gordon's career has been in Kansas City. I like the idea, C-Dot. I think he should do it a little later on in the year. Give it about a month or so where we can really celebrate Alex Gordon and what he accomplished here in Kansas City. I don't think the beginning of the season is the right time to do it.
And that was The Hits, brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. It's open in the Crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio.
So there's a lot of stuff to get into in the 5 o'clock hour. Nick, if you can, Charles Robinson and Therese Paylor on their podcast yesterday were having a conversation, because I remember at the end of the season, making a checklist of things I thought the Chiefs needed to accomplish. And at the top of the list was paying Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones. I didn't think that the Chiefs really had a choice in the decision of paying both of them. Tyreek Hill drastically underpaid. Same thing for Chris Jones. That's just what you do. When you put together the type of careers that both of them have put very early on, when it comes time for you to get paid by your organizations, that's typically what they do. Or you get traded for a substantial haul, and then you let the next organization pay you, kind of like what happened with Brandon Cooks in New Orleans. Well, after the investigation, or at least the knowledge of the investigation, more and more information has come out. I want to play for you guys what Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports had to say about it. Nick, if you can pull that up.
Just from a baseline football standpoint, the contract extension is off the table. Okay, it's not. Don't expect that to happen this offseason. This is something where, as I said, if there was any apprehension, and there was, you know, the league source was very crystal clear about this before this ever even came to light, there was already apprehension there from the Kansas City Chiefs. I think we can safely say Tyreek Hill, this idea of him becoming the highest paid wide receiver in the league this offseason is absolutely on pause.
One thing I would really like clarification on from Charles Robinson is what the apprehension is. Are there things happening that we don't know about off the field, maybe with relationships that Tyreek Hill has or relationships with other guys on the team, that the Chiefs simply feel we can't spend $20 million a season and guarantee $65, $70 million for him? Is the apprehension his size? He's 5'8", little guy. Is the belief of in the front office that he can eventually break down and that's going to end up not being good money? Is the apprehension of, well, we're already going to pay Patrick Mahomes $35 million to make him the highest paid? Always very good to, and now I'm hearing myself in the echo. Please fix the echo. Always very good to be doing a show for seemingly just me and Brandon Kiley. No one else
was
listening to the show.
It was a good show for what it's worth.
I had so many hot takes. Like, so many hot takes over the last. Can we please fix the echo? Please. I'm hearing myself in 5 seconds delay. Thank you so much, Nick the Quick. We apologize for what happened. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I have seemingly no clue what happened. We didn't really have any information. We just were told we were not on the air. We were just talking for the last little bit. But let's recap the Tyreek Hill stuff, and then we'll get back to the KU just a little bit. So with the Tyreek Hill contract situation, we agree contract on hold has to be right now. There's too much smoke, I think, from the Chiefs were at least having conversations with people about trading Tyreek Hill. I'm not saying that the Chiefs were making the phone calls, but I do think there was a time frame in which the Chiefs were entertaining the possibility of trading Tyreek Hill. I still think there is a possibility that the Chiefs don't pay Tyreek Hill long term. Like, I don't think this is a one-day conversation. I don't think this is a one-week conversation. I think this is going to be something that we're going to have to monitor of. Maybe the Chiefs don't love Tyreek Hill nearly as much as we think they do.
I think you're right, and I'm looking right now at a list of receivers who are the highest paid receivers in the league. Odell Beckham plays for Cleveland. They have a quarterback in a very similar spot right now to what Patrick Mahomes is in Baker Mayfield. That's a team that you're competing directly with. He makes 5 years, $90 million. He's the highest paid receiver in the league. DeAndre Hopkins is on the Texans. They have a quarterback that is in the exact same spot, and Deshaun Watson is what Patrick Mahomes is in. Brandon Cooks is in L.A. He's making a bunch of money. Jarvis Landry also in Cleveland. Stephon Diggs is on Minnesota. They were just able to sign the highest paid quarterback in league history, and then this offseason, a year later, were able to bring back Anthony Barr on a massive contract. Julio Jones makes a bunch of money with a quarterback paid more than anybody else in the league. So I refuse to believe, C-Dot, that this is about the cap, that this is about anything on-field related, because he's a perfect fit with what Patrick Mahomes brings you. I think it's very clear. We thought that the Chiefs were going to re-sign Tyreek Hill, and that was going to be the easy thing that they were going to do this offseason. It's becoming increasingly clear to me that they didn't view it the same way that we did, and I don't think it has anything to do with the money or his on-field production.
I want to talk to you guys a little bit about memories as we sit in March, and I think we can agree that having a very successful March covers up a lot of the stink that you had in a December and a January, that if you can find a way to put it together for 3 or 4 days in the NCAA tournament, people can look very favorably on your season. I think we can agree that now, given the Dean Wade injury, it will be very hard to look at anything that K-State does moving on as a failure. K-State season, I think, is pretty much solidified. The goal was to go out there and win the Big 12 this year. The goal was to put yourself in a position to make a run in the NCAA tournament. I think you've done that for the most part. Now, you have no control over Dean Wade's health. You have no control over Dean Wade's injury. But I think we can agree that for Kansas State, your legacy is forever solidified. Like you and I, the way we feel about those Chase Daniel, Jeremy Maclin, Tony Temple teams, their spot in our hearts are forever solidified. The same way I feel about Matty Mauk and Henry Josie and all those guys, their spot is forever solidified. I think K-State fans have the same approach when it comes to Xavier Sneed and Kamau Stokes and Barry Brown, that they're good. They could lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and we are always going to remember that that was the team that broke KU's streak. KU's season has been completely different, and I would say at least by their fan standards, not by normal team standards, because I think that 95% of us would love for our team to trade places with where KU is right now. By KU's own standard, they've been a little bit disappointing. No banners when it comes to the Big 12, no conference title, no conference tournament championship this year. Didn't get a 1 seed, didn't get a 2 seed. You didn't really love this team. Had the FBI stuff hanging off you. Bill, right before the NCAA tournament, is talking about turning down Chicago Bulls jobs. This has not been a typical KU year. But you still have a chance to turn things around with this season and leave it as a somewhat memorable year. If you can make a run in this NCAA tournament, and today you just took care of business, you're up 30 against Northeastern, you play a tough, but a team you can very easily beat in Auburn. We just saw Auburn do the most Missouri last 5 minutes I've ever seen and actually still win the game against
And if they're not hitting threes, they're not a great team.
Auburn. So if you're Kansas, you can absolutely advance. You want to talk about memorable. Memorable for this KU team would be a playing above their seed. If you as a KU fan, if you're walking into Sprint Center next week and they're playing North Carolina and you get to sing Rock Chalk Jayhawk to Roy Williams as he's walking off the court, and I would say outside of Duke, the second most popular favorite to win the NCAA tournament, if you knock off that team and we're having a conversation about Kansas shocked the world and they're a game away from the Final Four, that will wipe away a lot of the disappointment that I think KU fans have had from this season. March is about memories, and March is about doing something that people 5-10 years from now are going to remember. That's really 2 games away for this KU team.
Kansas is the least accomplished and least decorated version of a KU basketball team that we've seen in almost 20 years, CDOT. And the only way that you can overcome that in the minds of a lot of KU fans and the disappointment and the frustration that came with what this season was for the Jayhawks is at least an Elite Eight run. And I wonder if you're getting into the psyche of a KU fan. I wonder if it even needs to go further than that, because we were talking with Fesco earlier today, CDOT, and he said it's the worst, it's the most disappointing, it's the most frustrating college basketball season that he's been a part of in his life. Maybe that's a little over-exaggeration, but I think a lot of KU fans feel something similar to that. And for you to overcome that, maybe it is even another round. Maybe it is getting to the Final Four as opposed to just the Elite Eight. But the bare minimum, you have to beat Auburn, and then you're going to have to beat North Carolina for this to be deemed a successful season for Kansas.
You just got to do something cool in the tournament. That beating Northeastern's nice, but you're Kansas. They're Northeastern. That's not cool.
It's expected.
Beating Auburn, a non-traditional power. Auburn's a good basketball team. I'm not trying to slight Auburn. That's not cool, I would say. That's playing the seed. You're the 4. They're the 5. You've got Self. They've got Bruce Pearl. You're a more talented basketball team. You've had a better season than Auburn. Beating North Carolina in Kansas City is cool. That's a really impressive. That's a win that makes us evaluate this entire season, and I think that makes us think, what if? Man, if they had Udoka Azubuike, this is a clear Final Four team. That's a conversation-changing kind of win. Again, that's 2 games away from KU, and you have no clue what happens to Carolina. The tournament's crazy. You have no clue what happens.
Maybe somebody gets injured, and all of a sudden you're just right there. You're 1 bounce away from the possibility of playing for the Elite Eight.
But if you're Kansas, this has to be about creating memories, and you are 2 games away from creating those memories. We apologize for the technical difficulties. We're out here in winning streaks inside Harris Casino. We're not inside the station as normal. We had a little bit of technical difficulties. We apologize, trying to give you guys a quality show. And, the show we did when you guys weren't listening was actually really good. I didn't know the show was off. BK and I were still talking like normal, and then they're like, oh, you're not on the air. But let's get people scores.
Scores on the tens right here on 610 Sports Radio. It has officially gone final. KU beats Northeastern 87-53. They just blew the doors off of Northeastern today. The big one this evening is Murray State versus Marquette. Murray State is just dominating this one. 57-42. Marquette is getting beat right now. 12 and a half minutes to go in that one. We will have more tips coming up towards the back end of the 6 o'clock hour. Scores on the tens right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Well, speaking of scores, coming up in just a little bit, we'll go through the nightcap and all the games that are coming up tonight in the NCAA tournament. We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on... Can you tell him to turn the echo off, please? I appreciate. You just don't know how weird it is to do the radio and hear yourself 2 seconds later. It is very weird. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. BK, our normal producer, out today. Nick the Quick. Nick is shooting about 7-for-32 from the field today. He's the Allen Iverson of The Drive.
This isn't easy, man. It's, it's not an easy thing to do. As someone who's done it myself, it's not easy. So
we still got a lot to get into. I don't know if you guys are going to hear it or not, but we still got a lot to get into in today's show. One thing we got to get into, scores.
Scores for you guys. Scores on the 10s here on 610 Sports Radio. Not much going on around college basketball right now. The only game currently in action is Murray State going up against Marquette. Murray State's really pulled away in this one. They're on a 20-9 run here to start the second half. Murray State is up 62-44, 18-point lead for them with about 10 minutes to go, so just about halfway through the second half. Murray State up 62-44. Coming up at the end of the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have Florida versus Nevada, and then starting about 6, we get these games going again. Abilene Christian versus Kentucky and St. Mary's against Villanova.
Speaking of those games, Nick, if you can pod the music up, let's take a trip around the NCAA tournament. What's up first?
All right, CDOT, first game we've got for you. Florida, Nevada, 2.5-point favorite Nevada is. The Wildcats, am I right on that? Is it the Nevada Wildcats?
They're the Wolfpack, I believe.
Nevada Wolfpack.
I believe they are the Wolfpack.
Who you got in this one, CDOT?
I feel pretty confident they're the Wolfpack.
They're the Wolfpack.
I could be wrong.
I can confirm.
I'm going to take Nevada minus the 2.5. I think Florida's a little bit overvalued. They're a major conference team. That Nevada was probably one of the top 15 teams in college basketball. They just don't really get the respect because of the non-con kind of schedule. I'll take Nevada minus the 2.5 in this one. I like them in the nightcap.
I like Nevada as well. Florida can't score, man. That's their big issue. Florida can't score.
That's the issue.
And when
you
can't score in the NCAA tournament, that tends to come back to bite you.
That's the issue with 60 of the 68 teams in the NCAA tournament. They can't score. That's the issue with college basketball in general. They can't score. They either can't score or can't shoot. It's normally one of the two things. It's actually one of the three. Can't shoot, can't score, can't defend. Like, they can't guard anybody. It's always one of those three.
Next one up is Abilene Christian going up against Kentucky. Listen, Abilene Christian doesn't have a shot in this one. But what about the point spread? Kentucky is a 20.5-point favorite in this one. Who you got, CDOT?
I'm going to take Abilene Christian plus the 20.5. No PJ Washington in this one. I think that Kentucky is kind of setting the tone for its team. We don't take this game very seriously. We don't need P.J. Washington to play in this game. If it was important, he would play. But I think that kind of mindset permeates to the rest of the team. Now, Kentucky certainly has enough talent to win this. I would take Abilene Christian plus the 20.5.
I'd take Kentucky. Listen, the talent ends up winning out. We saw that with KU today. We've seen that all over. I think ultimately talent's going to win out in this one. Give me the Cats minus the points. St. Mary's taking on Villanova later today, and what I think could be an actually really entertaining game for a lot of viewers.
You actually got St. Mary making a run in this
thing. I do. I've got St. Mary's going ahead and moving on. The big thing about St. Mary's that you're going to notice, they don't really pass the ball very well, but they are a really good offense. They've got a solid defense. They've done a really good job given the schedule that they have, which wasn't all that impressive. But St. Mary's a good team. St. Mary's a quality squad. I'm going to take them to beat Villanova, so I'll take them on the money line today. I've got them moving on a little bit.
Nick the Quick, go ahead and write this down. Either Villanova or Cincinnati are going to represent the South region in the Final Four. I think the South region is by far and away the weakest region.
Villanova?
One of those two teams I think is making a Final Four run. Think about the region. You got Virginia as the one seed. Tennessee's the 2 in that region. Purdue's the 3. K-State's the 4. The top 4 seeds, and that got a lot of questions. If you're looking for that sleeper Final Four team, Nova with some tournament experience, a top 5 coach in Jay Wright, or Cincinnati, who I think can score. They're a tough, well-balanced, well-coached team. Villanova or Cincinnati is making the Final Four out of the South region. Go ahead and give me the Cats minus the 4.
Next game up with a 6:30 tip in this one. We have Fairleigh Dickinson going up against Gonzaga.
Well, I'm not about to waste your time. Gonzaga's a 1 seed. Fairleigh Dickinson is a 16 seed. Gonzaga's going to win this. Gonzaga is one of the 4 best teams in the country.
And they're not. Fairleigh Dickinson, I actually saw them in the play-in game. Not good. Not good at all. So I'm going to go ahead and take Gonzaga with you as well.
I mean, unless you're Virginia and you can't score, I'm just going to go ahead and pick the 16 very comfortably.
I was just asking you against the spread. 20.5 points, a lot of points. I'll take Gonzaga.
I mean, I would always take the plus the points because then I just think that's a big number to lay in a college basketball game, just given how they shoot and free throws and kids are apathetic. I always think that's a big number to take, but come on now.
Montana taking on Michigan. This one is going to be an 8:20 tip. It's one of the late games for you tonight.
Good old late tip.
Michigan is a 15-point favorite in this one, C-Dot, and I know you love Michigan.
I told you there's 3 teams that can win the NCAA tournament: North Carolina, Duke, and Michigan. So I'm riding the Wolverines in this one.
I don't need to give you much analysis. Michigan is good. Montana's not. We'll go with Michigan in this one. Seton Hall going against Wofford in a game that I think is going to be a lot of fun to watch because I've got the Wofford Terriers going a little further than people might expect. 29-4 on the year, 8:40 start for this one, C-Dot. Wofford, only a 3-point favorite going up against Seton Hall. Who you got?
This is a little bit of disrespect towards Wofford. Wofford's a top 20 team in college basketball, but because they don't have the name recognition, they're not getting the respect they deserve. Seton Hall's just an average basketball team. Wofford's actually one of the better teams in college basketball. Take the Wofford minus the 3. Of all the ones you've given me so far, that's the one I feel most confident. Wofford, if they were Oklahoma, they'd be a 4.5-point favorite because they're from a major conference. They would get more respect. Quit disrespecting Wofford.
Wofford is riding a 20-game winning streak coming into this one as well. I like Wofford
trying to disrespect
3 points.
Wofford, you know how we do every year with the seeding, where the poll will have Wofford like 9th in the country, but then the polls will come out and they'll be a 7 seed. Like, it never makes any sense. It's always disrespect towards the little guy.
Old Dominion in a big game against
Old
Purdue
Dominion
later tonight.
Old Dominion
50 tip for this one. Old Dominion is a big underdog in this one. 12.5 points. Not as big as I maybe anticipated. I like Purdue a lot in this tournament.
Is this in the South region? Nobody cares about the South region. The South region stinks.
Is this the South?
Absolutely. Yes, Purdue's the 3 seed.
Oh,
the South, it stinks.
That's actually who I have coming out of the South
region. It stinks. Give me Old Dominion plus 12.
You know what's going to crush all of our brackets? The South region stinks, and so somebody none of us expect is going to come out of that.
That's why I keep telling you Villanova and Cincinnati. Maybe. You keep laughing at me like I'm telling jokes up here,
maybe.
But I ain't telling no jokes.
And finally, C-Dot, your team, Syracuse, who you thought was going to come up with a big upset. Now their point guard ain't
then
playing
their point
anymore.
Guard is on the shelf.
I don't know if Vegas was aware of this because Vegas has Syracuse as a 2.5-point favorite against Baylor tonight. This is going to be a 9 o'clock tip for you. It's a late one. Syracuse, 2.5-point favorite. Give me Baylor. Syracuse is suspending their starting point guard right before the start of the NCAA tournament. Their head's not in the right spot. Give me Baylor.
I'm going to take Baylor, too. I'm going to take Baylor.
Didn't you literally, like, 24 hours ago, like, almost exactly this time yesterday, tell me Syracuse is pulling off an upset against a 1 seed?
And then, right after I told you that, their point guard was suspended for the entirety of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no, that's
You're
on
right.
you. That's on you.
That's
on you.
Tomorrow, if Devon Dotson got suspended for the game, I would have a different opinion about KU. So, yeah.
Wouldn't get suspended. You didn't pick KU.
I thought that I picked him to win the first game. I ain't picking him to win
tomorrow.
This next game. I ain't picking him to win the next one, but I picked him to win the first one.
That's what we've got for you guys. Those are your 8 games tonight. It's not a fantastic slate on the first day. The morning games were supposed to be better than they were.
All of them stunk other than Auburn. All of them have been bad games.
I would say the best games tonight.
PK always loves dressing these games up. I'm going to tell you the truth.
St. Mary's Villanova should be entertaining. And Seton Hall Wofford has potential. And those are pretty much the only ones I'm interested in tonight.
I mean, other than the Auburn game, you didn't really miss anything today in college basketball. You didn't miss anything.
John Morant's had a hell of a game.
No, he's been great.
He's been good.
He's been
got 15, 14, and 8.
No, he's been hooping. No, he's
been good.
We told you he was a hooper. Now, the game hasn't been that good, but watching him hoop has been very entertaining.
I'm glad we get to see it again.
He's great. No, and I'm excited to watch it when I'm not at work. I'm really excited for him being advancing in the NCAA tournament. I just didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot of it because we were working. And we were probably off the air when he was playing. You know how things are here.
We were technically. We could have gone over and watched actually doing that. Tomorrow should be a little better. Iowa-Cincinnati could be interesting. Let's move on down.
Before we get to the scores, I want to read to you guys something. This is from Charles Robinson talking about your favorite player in the NFL, Eric Berry.
Oh, okay.
Although Berry's free agency has just begun, Berry is believed to be looking for a team that offers him the best hybrid opportunity of winning while getting paid near the top at the end of the safety table. While the Cowboys might have balked at the comparisons between Berry and Thomas at the negotiating table, they can expect that a general parallel will be drawn. It doesn't mean Berry is necessarily expecting to land Thomas money, which I would certainly hope not, but he is not coming cheaply by any means either, and that might be precisely why he is expected to shop around before signing his next deal. I fully understand that the only general manager experience I have is owner mode on Madden. I was really good at owner mode. I mean, I negotiated the cap really well. I signed great contracts. I gave a lot of guaranteed money for low cap numbers.
I always find a way for the number one pick. I always end up with the number one pick.
I was
in owner
a dynamic
mode.
General manager on Madden. But if you are a GM and you are planning on signing Eric Berry to anything other than a prove it contract, you deserve to be fired. I'm not saying you can't sign Eric Berry. I'd be fine with the Chiefs bringing back Eric Berry on a one-year prove-it kind of deal. I got no issue with that. But I'm talking a one-year, $2 million, heavy incentive-laden contract. You got to prove it to me. I don't know how another NFL team can see what happened to the Kansas City Chiefs in betting on the health of Eric Berry. And now them just say, yeah, we feel really good about it. No, I'm not doing it. I understand why Berry and his camp want to be paid like Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas played more games last year than you played the last two seasons in the NFL. I have absolutely no interest in locking myself in long-term to Eric Berry. If we're talking, again, a one-year incentive-laden deal, I'm for it. And I think Berry will find that contract. But if you're telling me that he wants to be paid on the high end of the safety table, go ahead and retire right now because you've already been paid on the high end of the safety table. You set the table. Did he not set the table?
He did. Yeah, he was the guy that everybody looks to and said, hey, that's how we get our $13 million a year. Little advice for anybody that's reading something like this, a report. Always think about where's this coming from. Always think about what is the source for this and what is their intention. Why are they leaking this right now? And it is very clear, C-Dot, where this came from. This came from Eric Berry. This came from Eric Berry's agent. This came from somebody close to Eric Berry. This came from somebody who's trying to build interest, who's trying to build a market for Eric Berry. Nobody's given Eric Berry the Earl Thomas deal. Nobody. There aren't that many bad GMs in the league anymore that are willing to give Eric Berry that kind of a deal.
I just saw a team trade for Joe Flacco. So, yes, there are a lot of bad deals. I just saw a team give Nick Foles $40 million guaranteed. So, don't tell me there's not bad general managers.
At the quarterback position, I'm with you.
Okay, no, you're fair.
Safety's a little different. They're not giving Eric Berry, who's played four games in the last 2 years, the same contract as Earl Thomas, who randomly broke his leg in the middle of a season.
Speaking of markets, coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about the free agent corner market and how the Chiefs have been very aggressive. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, we got to tell you about John Morant today. He is a guard for Murray State. If you do not know who he is, you are about to know very, very quickly because he is the second best player in college basketball behind Zion Williamson. He messed around and got a triple-double in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Auburn has been the story of Missouri the hell out of that game. I mean, they were comfortably in control of that game and then almost let New Mexico State get back into it where they got an open look at the buzzer and had a chance to win. The kid airballed. But Ja Morant today has been absolutely amazing. If you know NBA comparisons a little bit, he's a lot like Russell Westbrook. I'm not saying he's Russell Westbrook. I'm saying he plays a lot like Russell Westbrook. BK, what's the numbers and stats behind my guy, Ja Morant?
So here we go. Looked this up during the break. See, I have a list of players in the last 20 years to record a triple-double in the NCAA tournament. Ja Morant added his name to this list earlier today. Draymond Green, Cole Aldrich, KU native, and Dwayne Wade. That's it. Those four players are the only players to record a triple-double in the NCAA tournament in the last 2 decades. John Morant with one hell of a debut performance in the NCAA tournament.
So John Morant had a 15-point, 15-assist, 10-rebound day, an absolutely incredible day for John Morant. I want to talk a little bit of Chiefs before we sign off today. Oh, the guy was yelling at me. I didn't know why the guy was yelling at me. I didn't know. The Chiefs, they have been really aggressive when it comes to free agent corners. You think about it. They brought in Ronald Darby. They brought in Denard as they were interested in bringing him. What's it? I can never pronounce the guy's name.
Darquez.
Why couldn't your mom name you Darius?
I got
or something?
You.
And somebody named Carrington. Come on now.
Duquez, just call him D.
Denard. That's who he is to me. Denard, Darby, Breland. That's their names. So the Chiefs were interested in him. He ended up going back to Cincinnati. That dream is dead. The Chiefs have been very aggressive when it comes to the free agent corner market and trying to find a veteran corner. Now, it's what I wanted. I had a couple things on my checklist at the very beginning of the offseason. One thing I had on the list was I thought you needed to go get a veteran running back. They went up and signed him, Carlos Hyde, 1 year, $2 million deal. Really smart deal for the Chiefs. Guys like Carlos Hyde come a dime a dozen. I wanted them to get a little bit more experience when it came to the cornerback group. They didn't have a whole lot of experience. They ended up getting that. They signed Bashaud Breland to another 1 year, $2 million, very cap-friendly kind of deal. The thing was they kept poking after that, and they tried to sign Denard to a deal, but he ended up going back to the Cincinnati Bengals. They've told me they care way more about secondary and cornerback-wise than they care about the pass rush. Now, maybe their plan is they've got a pass rusher that they have penciled in when it comes to the NFL draft, and they're not that interested in any of the free agencies. But, man, I would have loved Clay Matthews. Maybe they're still in on Shane Ray. Maybe they like Ndamukong Suh on a one-year deal. They just haven't really been linked to too many pass rushers. They've been linked to a lot of corners. I think it should go to tell you the confidence that they feel in Tano Passanio and Breland Speaks. And at least right now, they don't seem too concerned about the pass rush. They do seem concerned, at least free agent-wise, when it comes to the secondary.
Everybody wants the Chiefs to take the Patriots model. In this respect, in this particular instance, the Chiefs are going to the Patriots model. The Patriots model is generate pass rush by what your scheme is going to give you, specifically Bill Belichick. He finds a way when it matters most, and we saw this firsthand with what they did against the Chiefs, he finds a way to scheme up the pressure that they need in the playoffs. They, on the back end, though, are willing to pay. Devin McCourty makes $12 million a year. Stephon Gilmore makes $9 million a year. They're willing to pay for guys on the back end to be able to cover people the way that they need them to give their front seven enough time to be able to get home. The Chiefs are trying to follow that formula. They're trying to have the talent on the back end that can stay mirroring one-on-one against these receivers, and they're trusting that Steve Spagnuolo and Brendan Daly, the new defensive line coach, are going to be able to play enough games with offensive line that they get pressure that way as opposed to by out-talenting people.
We can talk a lot more about this when we have more time. I know we're up against the break. That's a dangerous game to me, to trust the scheme over the players, because you are New England. That's what New England does. New England trusts their system, their scheme over the general X's and O's. I'm seeing right now with the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm seeing much more of a trust in, we think that Steve Spagnuolo can coach up Tano Passanio and Breland Speaks, that I'm seeing a let's try to put together the best defensive roster possible, at least when it comes to getting pressure.
And for what it's worth, they don't do that on the other side of the ball. They're trying to give Andy Reid as many players as he can, and I would argue he's the best offensive mind in the NFL. So if you do it on that side, why aren't you trying to do it on the other side? But it's very clear that's not their plan.
And my just fear is where they're drafting in the NFL or in where they're drafting in the NFL draft. Unless they're planning on going very high up, I don't think you can count on getting a pass rusher where they are. Unless you're thinking of moving from 30 to 17, you're moving from 30 to 15, 16. I just don't know if you're getting day one help when it comes to pass rush. Because
Scott's still convinced they're picking at 30.
Oh, it's 29. You're right. You're right. It's 29. It's 29-30. It's like a hybrid pick. They got both picks.
Yeah, okay. We'll take
it. They got both picks.
I'll take it.
They got both picks. I just don't know if there is a lot of day one help in the late part of the first round. That's how I'm going to start saying late first round.
I like it.
That covers anything. I mean, late first round can be 22 or 32. Late, it's It's a late verse.
I like it. I think there probably will be some help there. I just don't think it's helping year one. And the Chiefs are looking for guys that are going to help you in year one of the contract. And that's the timeline is what messes up all of this stuff. It's they've got to find a guy that's going to help them in 2019, not in 2022 or beyond.
Thank you so much for listening today. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the remainder of the first day of the NCAA tournament. Next time you're out and about, be sure to come out to Winning Streaks inside Harrah's Casino. They were a gracious host to us. It is an incredible place to watch a ball game. We'll be back here tomorrow watching the K-State game as K-State looks to advance in the NCAA tournament. Do us a favor. Go on 610sports.com. Also download the podcast. We are also available on iTunes. Do us a favor and also download the radio.com app. For Brandon Kiley, for Nick the Quick Price back at the studio, for all the technical difficulties we had today, it's the Tribe.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.